I want to share briefly with you, because I want to stir your faith a little bit, but also I want you to understand what tonight is about as well. And you know, I've been thinking about this night for a while, to be honest with you. Even last year we had revive nights, but we did them slightly different, and I was just like, man, it's not what I really feel like God wants us to do. And so this is kind of what I feel like God wants us to do. But I look around in the world around us and around the community around us, and I just see a lot of stuff that just isn't what God would want for people's lives, whether they be Christian or not. There's just a whole lot of things that are touching people's lives. The Old Testament term would be that they become unclean or they become defiled. The word defiled means purity damaged. And I just look at people's lives and I look at a whole lot of things, and I just see purity, the purity of being created in the image of God, the purity of who they were created to be, just being damaged by things of this world, just being damaged by different things, by sickness, being damaged by all sorts of stuff that's out there. And it's really interesting that what they used to do in the Old Testament is that the priest would come and make a sacrifice, right, for the family. They'd sacrifice the lamb and all that sort of stuff, but and that was really, really good. But if the priest touched something that was unclean, so if the priest touched somebody that was sinful or touched someone that was sick or touched a dead body or touched something, they'd have to go and sacrifice again, because the defilement of that thing would overwhelm the sacrifice. Are you with me? The sacrifice was never enough, because it was almost like the sin, the sickness, the defilement was always overcame the sacrifice. And so they would have to go through these rituals and wash their hands and do all this stuff and put blood on their left ear and their big toe and all these sorts of things to get themselves clean again, so that they could enter back into the Holy of Holies or back into the temple and make more sacrifices. And if they touch something unclean again, they'd have to go through the whole process again. And it was almost like they're just constantly having a sacrifice because everything else defiled them. They couldn't be near women when they were in that time of the month, because if they touched them, they would be defiled, and they'd have to go through this process of sacrifice and everything, because everything defiled them. It always overcame the sacrifice. The sacrifice was always overcome by the sin or the sickness or the disease or whatever, and so they regularly made these sacrifices, and they were never enough. And this is why Jesus is so extraordinary, because when Jesus came, Jesus touched the lepers, Jesus touched the dead, raised them from the dead, Jesus touched the sinners, Jesus touched the prostitutes, Jesus touched those that needed a miracle, Jesus touched all the unclean things, and for the first time ever that they'd ever seen in their lives, all of a sudden, the sacrifice overcame the unclean. All of a sudden, the sacrifice that was Jesus, the Lamb of God, overcame the defilement, overcame the sickness, overcame the sin, overcame the unclean things. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, in the Message, it says this: death has been swallowed up by triumphant life. Who got the last word, O death? O death, who's afraid of you now? It was sin that made death so frightening, and law code guilt that gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master Jesus Christ. Thank God. For the first time, God sent his Son, and for the first time, the sacrifice overcame the sin, overcame the death, overcame the sickness. You see, Jesus has a different way of doing things, and the reason why we're doing things the way we are tonight is because, you know, my dad used to say this to me. He says that a message always requires a platform, but the anointing always requires an altar or a sacrifice. Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And tonight, as we pray and as we're going to lay hands on people and as people come forward to the altar, that's what brings the breakthrough. That's what brings the anointing. That's what brings the sacrifice that overcomes into the place. You know, like, I can stand here and talk, but it's the anointing that's going to set us free. And so I think that the problem we have in the church world is not a faith problem. You know, I think if there's something that we've done really bad as Pentecostals, and this is a Pentecostal church, if you didn't know it, is that we go around telling people that, and I've had this said to me, well, if you haven't experienced healing, you just need more faith. Or maybe there's sin in your life. You know, when somebody said that about Trinity, when she was diagnosed with the Crohn's disease and God didn't seem to be doing much, and somebody said, there must be sin in your life, I wanted to punch him in the face and prove that there was sin in my life. But to turn around and say that it's sin that's stopping healing is saying that the sacrifice wasn't enough. See, I don't think we have a faith problem in the church. I think we have an authority perception problem in the church. I think that we believe that God can do it. We just don't think he has the authority to do it. Matthew 8 verse 23 says this, then he got into his boat and the disciples followed him, and suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, and so the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping, and the disciples went in and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are drowning. And he replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and he rebuked the waves, and it completely calmed. Then the men were amazed and they asked, what kind of man is this? They marveled at his faith. It's not what it says, right? It says that they marveled at his authority, that even the wind and the waves obeyed him. And he just said to the disciples, you have little faith, which people have preached that so wrong for so long. It's not the size of your faith, it's the length of your faith. Jesus is not saying to them, you don't have enough faith, because the Bible teaches us that the faith of the mustard seed is enough to move a mountain. What he's saying to them is, you didn't hold on to your faith long enough, because you didn't think I had the authority to operate in that, and so you got scared. Your faith was there for a moment, but then you got scared because you didn't think I had the authority. And it's not how much faith you had, it's the length that you hold it, trusting in the authority of God. Matthew 8, there's another story, and it says that Jesus had entered Capernaum and a centurion came to him asking for help. It's a Roman centurion. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? And the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Listen to this. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one to go and he goes, and this one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to all those following him, truly, listen to this, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. But hold on, he wasn't talking about I've got faith for my servant to be healed. He was talking about I am a man under authority. I understand how authority works. I don't need you to come to my house, because I recognize that you have authority over sickness and death and sin and disease. I just need you to say the word, because your word carries the authority. And Jesus' response to the man understanding authority was to say, I haven't seen faith like this anywhere else in Israel. And we've got to remember, he's a Roman centurion. He's not Jew. He's not an Israelite. Jesus said this man had the greatest faith that he'd ever seen, because he understood authority. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done, just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed in that moment. We have an authority perception problem. We have faith. We're just not sure he has the authority to do it. And when we pray tonight for these different things, we're going to pray with authority, because he has authority and he's given us authority. One last story, Mark 5. If you don't believe me that the key to getting God to move in your world is understanding his authority, hopefully this story will convince you. Mark 5, 22 to 43, and it says, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." And so Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. In other words, she had a period every day for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. But when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. You can understand, she should never have been out of her house. If they had caught her out of her house because she was unclean, they would have killed her. And she's pressing through the crowd and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. The hem of the rabbis had scripture embroidered into the hem. She's reaching out for a word from God. She's reaching out to touch the very thing that he is. And because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately the bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples answered, "You see the crowd against you? Everybody is touching you." No, no, no. Everybody was pressing up against him, but only one person was touching him. See, a lot of people like to press up against Jesus, but someone who understands his authority touches him. And once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him, he asked, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembled with fear and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Yeah, the story is so awesome, but I can't help but think how Jairus is going right now. He came to him and said, "My daughter's dying." Jesus is like, "Right, we'll go to your house." And then this woman comes and interrupts his miracle. While Jesus was still speaking, some of the people from the house of Jairus came. The synagogue leader, "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly, because they used to hire mourners. You used to get paid to go and pretend that you're grieving. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and he said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around, and she was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished, and he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and told them to give her something to eat. See, we read those two stories and we see them as two separate incidents where God just does these incredible miracles. But that whole passage of Scripture is about Jesus' authority. The woman bled for 12 years. The girl was 12 years old. And 12 in Scripture speaks of authority. It's God showing us that he has the authority over sickness and he has the authority over death. It's not that we don't believe, it's that just we're not sure he can, because we're not sure he has the authority. And he's showing through this whole entire story, hey, I have authority. I have authority. The day that girl was born was the day the woman started to bleed. 12 years of age, 12 stands for authority. The unclean woman was overcome by the ultimate sacrifice that swallows up the unclean. The unclean death of a girl was overcome by the ultimate sacrifice that swallows up the unclean. Why? Because Jesus has all authority and Jesus has given us all authority. You don't need more faith. You need to operate in authority, speaking to and commanding the mountains to move. That's not faith, that's authority. Authority speaks to things and commands it to shift. You have to have the faith to step into authority, but once you've got the faith, you just have to step into your authority. And tonight as we pray, and we pray for different ones, and if you don't need prayer and these four different things, we're just going to pray. We're going to believe for our community and people within our church, and we're going to have authority because we've got faith to believe that God can overcome any defiled marriage. We've got faith to believe that God can overcome the defilement of sin. We've got faith to believe that God can overcome the defilement of sickness. We've got faith to believe that, right? And so now we just need to operate in the authority of that and start commanding and speaking and telling those things to break off people's lives, just like Jesus did, because Jesus said this about the centurion: no great faith have I seen in all of Israel, because he understood authority. And when we understand authority, it all opens up. So why don't you stand to your feet and get the musicians and the singers to come.